Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord. How he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth, and he breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. It's good to be together today. Why don't we just give another great thank you to the band and the team just for leading us in worship today. What an incredible job. It's sure great to be together today and to be able to share with you from the Word of God. I love the psalm that I just read. But when I read it and it begins the way that it begins with this statement that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, it tells me something about the guy who wrote it. It tells me something about the fact that he knew trouble, but that he also knew what it was to meet with God in places of trouble. Jesus himself, when he walked the earth, he made us a promise that isn't necessarily exciting. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. Jesus walked this earth. He came into it in a time when it was in trouble. The world around Jesus when he lived was not happy-go-lucky. It wasn't all fun and games. It was a disaster, in all honesty. And he comes down into the middle of that trouble and says to people, yeah, in this world you will have trouble, but rest assured, I have overcome the world. There is an answer coming in the middle of the trouble. We understand, many of us, what this looks like. And I know that even as we come together and worship today and we declare our praises, we sing together things like, you're perfect in all of your ways. And we sing, great are you, Lord, that many of you, in order to sing those songs, are doing one of two things. Either one, you're being dishonest and you're just going with the flow and saying what you think you should say, because they taught you to say that over your life or in Sunday school, or to say it and ignore the trouble in your life makes you feel better. Or you've learned that even in trouble, God is good, that God is perfect in all his ways, that he is present and wanting to do something. There's a great story in the book, in the Gospels, and in Matthew chapter 4, it tells this story that Jesus and his disciples, after a time of teaching and ministry, get into a boat together, and they go sailing across to the other side. It seems like they've been super busy because Jesus is so tired, he falls asleep in the front of the boat. He lays his head down in the midst of the sailing, and he just goes to sleep and lets them take care of the sailing. But as they're going, trouble comes. And not like a little bit of trouble. It tells us in the story that the boat begins to be tossed by waves. A storm comes up so intense that the boat is taking on water. If you know anything about the guys who hung out with Jesus, lots of them knew tons about boats and sailing. They were fishermen. They spent all kinds of time on the water. We know they're in trouble because these efficient seamen are getting freaked out. Like, this could be the end. The boat's going down. And so in the midst of this real trouble, they collect themselves in a moment of sanity, and they look around and realize Jesus is nowhere to be found. And they go to him in the boat, and they find him there sleeping in the middle of this storm. He's at such peace that the storm hasn't even woke him up. And they ask him a question that I find incredibly honest, and that my heart actually resonates with a lot. They say to him, "Teacher, Rabbi, do you not care that we're dying?" That's a good question. We're taking on water. Trouble is about to take us out, and you're sleeping. Does it not bother you that we're about to die? I love the honesty of that question. Because I think that's often our question when we're in trouble. When we get ourselves into places of trouble, when the world around us begins to take its toll and wear on us, when we watch the news at 5 o'clock and we see what's happening on the planet, there is a very real question, I think, that starts to rise up in most people that says, do you not realize the trouble that we're in? Jesus, do you not realize that this addiction is taking me out day after day after day? Do you not realize I'm dying? In the face of sickness and in the face of death, many of us have had to walk through the same things that the people on this earth have walked through over generations of loss and of pain and of broken bodies and failing bodies. In the face of broken relationships. In the face of confusion and trouble of every kind, you name it, I think it makes sense to me that a question starts to rise up in people that says, Jesus, do you not realize the mess we're in? I moved to the Comox Valley about 10 years ago, and I came here, and in my life I had trouble. When my wife and I moved here, I have a sister who passed away when she was 30. And when we moved here, it was about 6 months before she passed away. She was in an epic battle with cancer. And we walked through that journey. And one of the reasons we came to the Comox Valley is because we were in the middle of that trouble. We were tired. You walk through, and many of you, as I say that, you go, I get it. I've been there. Some of you are looking at me. I'm there right now. I'm in the middle of trouble. I get it. Talk to me. And we came to the valley in the middle of that trouble, very much desiring that God would meet us in the midst of our trouble. We were kind of at the end of our rope. And questions like the disciples asked in the boat were the kinds of questions that I was asking on a daily basis. In trouble, we begin, understandably, to ask, where is God? Because it's in our trouble that we realize if he doesn't show up, this is going to end bad. It's in our trouble that we realize, oh, maybe I don't have it in me to get through this. Maybe I actually do need something beyond me to get to the other side of this situation, to walk through it with any sense of sanity. It's into the midst of that trouble when so often we want to turn away from God, when so often we want to run and kind of turtle in a corner and think it's just we're doomed, that the psalmist in Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and our strength. He is a very present help in trouble. If you're in trouble today, if you've known trouble in your life, I have good news for you today. God is not absent. He is very present. Jesus wakes up from the front of that boat. They wake him with this question. He hears the question. He stands up, and rather than answering, I love it, rather than even taking the time to answer their question, which may have only made them more mad, we're sinking, and if he'd got into a big theological debate at that point, I don't know that it would have helped. We're taking on water, and so he stands up and he says this, "Peace, be still." And the storm stops like that. It's an amazing moment. It's supposed to be awe-inspiring and hard to believe. It's miraculous. The storm stops the minute he speaks that out. And when he says, "Peace be still," I can't help but think of the end of the psalm that I read, where the psalmist declares prophetically the voice of God, where God says, "Be still and know that I am God." The disciples turn to Jesus in their trouble. In the midst of their trouble, they get to the point where they realize, we're not going to be able to bail the water fast enough out of this boat. We're going down. And so they turn to Jesus, and they do what is an invitation to us. The same way that we could respond to trouble, they respond. Rather than freaking out and being taken out by the chaos, they, first of all, they enter into the words of Psalm 46, they're still. Somebody took a minute to breathe deep and think for a second, wait, there's a guy sleeping in the front of this boat who just might be able to do something that none of the rest of us could do. They take a deep breath and they're stilled. And so the invitation to us in our trouble is the same. The psalmist would say, be still. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm in big trouble and things are going crazy in my life and someone like my wife says, Chad, be still, that doesn't help. I know that you're in the midst of trouble. I know that that loved one is in real trauma. I know that this addiction is taking you out. And then someone steps in and says, you know what? Be still. You got to be joking me. That's like the last thing I want to hear, first of all. And a big part of me thinks, what are you talking about? How do we be still in the midst of this? In fact, that seems like the worst thing to do. The boat's taking on water. And you're saying, just stand there? And it leads me into this place in the midst of trouble where I realize I don't need to and can't really just choose to be still. I actually need God to help me be still. And so I love that in that part of the psalm, it's no longer the psalmist speaking, but he begins at that point to flip it and to speak the words of God. It is God who says to us today, be still. In the same way that he did it in the boat, he would speak over your life and over our lives in our trouble, be still. And just as unbelievable and as miraculous as the calming of the waves and the water, something can happen for our hearts. And we find that even in the midst of the greatest trouble, we know peace that passes understanding. We're quieted. We're stilled. And then in that stillness, the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. Step into, lean into Jesus. Believe into Jesus. Begin in the stillness to allow him to come near. I think a lot of the time when we have trouble in our lives, we want to do the opposite of that. I know when I get into trouble, I start to act like a 2-year-old most of the time. And I just want to start kicking and screaming and throwing tantrums. I don't want to be still and let God in. I actually have this tendency in me to push him away. To either write him out of the picture, to say, I wouldn't be in this trouble if he existed. Or to actually, even worse sometimes, I actually want to turn around at him and blame him for the trouble that I'm in. And God is wanting us to catch that there is another option, and it's this. It's to go to the stern of the boat, to lean into, to come to Jesus and say, be honest. Jesus, I'm in trouble. And except that you wake up and do something, we're going down. We came to the Comox Valley 10 years ago, and many of you know me, either personally or kind of through some other people. My wife and I right now are getting ready to move to Vancouver. And so this is actually a real privilege always to speak and to share with the people of God, the Word of God. But to do it today is especially special for me as we prepare to head on to a new chapter in our lives. But as I've been reflecting and getting ready to head to Vancouver, and I've thought about Nautical Day services and Good Friday services and the church that we have the privilege of planting and the pastors I've got to know and the things I also have been reflecting on the trouble that we came to the valley in, the trouble that has continued to come up in our lives and around us in other people's lives, and the ways in which over this season, God has been very present in trouble. I'm so glad that we don't get together to worship. We don't come together to lift up an idea or a happy thought or even to lean on each other for strength. We come together because there is a God who created us who is not absent. He's not distant. And even on the darkest of days, he is very present. It is such a privilege and such a beautiful testimony to the fact that the God who created you loves you deeply. And so today, in the midst of trouble, because I know many of you are in trouble of different shapes and sizes today. And so in the midst of your trouble, I want to encourage you, I want to invite you, first of all, to be still. Just that the Lord would come and that he would quiet your heart in the trouble. And then we ask that he would come there. And if you don't know Jesus today, if you have never allowed him into your life, into your trouble, then I want to encourage you today to consider that. To think about what it would look like to invite him into your life. Invite him into your situation. You know what? I'm in trouble, and rather than push you away, I'm going to listen to what this crazy guy is saying and say, Jesus, would you come here to the trouble? Would you come here in my life and join me on this journey? What would it look like for you today to invite Jesus into your situation? To invite Jesus into your life, into your family, into your interactions, into your trouble. I'm going to invite the team to come back to lead us in some closing worship. But before we do that, Jim's going to lead us in some closing prayers. But could I just pray for you? Let's pray together. God, I thank you for who you are and for how present you've been in my trouble. And I thank you that the Comox Valley and its people have actually been a part of the way that you've met me in my trouble. I pray a blessing today over those who need you, over those who would reach out to you from places and say, I need you to come and calm the storms in my life. I need you to come and to set me free. Jesus, would you come right now? And I just speak out over you and over this valley today the words of the psalmist. Be still and know that I am God. Amen.
Thank you, Chad. Chad's invited us to be still. And let's take a few moments just to be still in the presence of the Lord as I lead us in a few prayers.